Our scripture lesson this week comes from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 11, verses 16 to 19 and 25 to 30, starting at verse 16. To what should I compare this generation? It's like children sitting in the marketplaces who call out to each other. We played the flute for you, but you didn't dance. We sang lament, but you didn't mourn. For John did not come eating or drinking, and they say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners, yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. At that time Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, because this was your good pleasure. All things have been entrusted to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and anyone to whom the Son desires to reveal him. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. All of you, take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. I am Dr. Rob White with the AULC Ministries with our message this week. I am happy that you can take a few minutes out of your busy week to be with us today. When you were a child, did you ever feel overwhelmed by homework, chores, or problems? Perhaps the work is difficult, and you don't quite understand how to do it, or the problem seems so big that you wonder what to do about it. Did you ask your mom or dad for help? Moms and dads are not there to solve all of your problems or do your work. Okay, but they can help you look at a problem in a different way and offer suggestions for finding a solution. Sometimes the things we are expected to do and the problems we encounter feel like a heavy load, a burden, and we need help. Jesus talks about this in the Bible and uses a yoke as an example. A yoke is something that joins two things together, usually animals. Before there were tractors or trucks, people used oxen to pull plows and wagons, and oxen are still used today in some parts of the world. Two strong animals, joined together with a yoke, make pulling a wagon easier because there are two pulling instead of one. When we feel like we are carrying a heavy load or are burdened by problems, Jesus says we can be yoked to him. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, found in our scripture lesson today in Matthew 11:29. As we pray and read the Bible, we learn how to look at a problem in a different way. We discover that when we work together, our load seems lighter, and we feel more able to manage and find solutions for our problems. In today's gospel lesson, Jesus prays, I thank you, Father. All things have been delivered to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. Neither does anyone know the Father except the Son, and he to whom the Son desires to reveal him. Verses 25 and 27. A friend told me about one Father's Day. His son gave him a card that he has kept for a long time. In it, his son wrote a personal message thanking him for being there for him when he needed his father. Sometimes we write that kind of note because we feel that the occasion demands it, but I believe that my friend's son was writing from his heart. He says that he is grateful that he and his son have that kind of relationship. I wish that every father could have that kind of relationship with his son, and that every son could have that kind of relationship with his father. Not all fathers and sons have that kind of relationship. I suspect that Jesus had that kind of relationship with his father. Joseph was a carpenter in a day when carpenters had a small shop instead of a construction company. He would have welcomed Jesus' help. While the New Testament tells us very little about Jesus' childhood, I can imagine that Joseph invited Jesus into his shop when Jesus was still a little boy. Perhaps he made Jesus a little chair where he could sit and watch his father work. Perhaps Joseph carved a little wooden hammer so that Jesus could be a pretend carpenter. I am sure that as Jesus grew up, Joseph taught him how to use his tools. Perhaps for Jesus' bar mitzvah, Joseph gave him a set of tools, his way of acknowledging that Jesus was becoming a man. As Jesus grew up, he would have worked with Joseph in the shop, day by day and side by side. When Jesus was having trouble getting something to fit, Joseph was there to help. When one of them slipped and drew blood, the other was there with a bandage and a kind word. Whatever Joseph knew, he taught Jesus tools, woods, techniques, measurements. By the time Jesus had become a man, he had also become a fine carpenter, like his father. When you work together in that kind of close quarters day by day, one of two things happens. You either hate each other or you love each other. I am confident that Joseph and Jesus loved each other, but Joseph was not Jesus' only father. Jesus had an even closer relationship with his heavenly Father. Listen again to the words of his prayer. I thank you, Father. All things have been delivered to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. Neither does anyone know the Father except the Son, and he to whom the Son desires to reveal him. You might think of that prayer as Jesus' Father's Day card to his Heavenly Father. I thank you, Father, words to warm any father's heart. As close as Jesus was to Joseph, he was even closer, infinitely closer, to his Heavenly Father. He had come from the Father, and one day he would go back to the Father. In the meantime, he was always with the Father, as close as a prayer. The Father was always there, waiting, listening for a word from the Son. I thank you, Father, Jesus prayed. I thank you. The Father was right there with him, listening to every word. I can assure you of that. Then Jesus seems to change the subject. He has been speaking to the Father, but now he speaks to us. He says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavily burdened, and I will give you rest." Verse 28 of our scripture lesson today. But I would like to suggest that Jesus is not changing the subject. Instead, he is inviting us into the special relationship that exists between him and his Father. Whenever Jesus was in need, his Heavenly Father was there for him. In every difficult moment of his life, and Jesus had many difficult moments, he went to the Father in prayer, and the Father was there for him. The phrase is joined at the hip. It means that Jesus and the Father were so close as to be one. Anyone who wanted to separate them would find it impossible, because their relationship was seamless. There was no space between them where you could insert a pry bar to pull them apart. Now Jesus invites us to come to him so that we might find rest, just as he goes to the Father to find rest. The rest, the strength, the peace comes from the Father through the Son to us. It is as if Jesus invites us to become part of the seamless Father-Son relationship, a three-part harmony. Jesus invites us into that relationship because he knows that we need what we can find there, rest. He says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavily burdened, and then I will give you rest." Is there anyone here who does not feel the pull of that verse? Anyone who is not carrying a heavy burden? Anyone who does not need rest? I cannot imagine that there is. We are all carrying burdens. We all need rest for our souls. Our bodies need rest too, but what we really need is rest for our souls. Strength. Peace. If we can find rest for our souls, we can sleep at night and our bodies will be all right. But if we cannot find rest for our souls, we are restless indeed. Jesus offers us rest for our souls. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavily burdened, and I will give you rest." But the rest to which Jesus calls us is not a layabout rest, a reclining chair rest, a do-nothing rest. The Greek word in the New Testament means a temporary respite, an R&R, a breather. The resting of which Jesus speaks is resting to get refreshed, to get energized, to renew one's enthusiasm. There's a peace associated with the rest to which Jesus calls us. It's the kind of peace that we feel in the presence of someone whom we trust. Some years ago, I worked for a man who prided himself on keeping us off balance. He didn't want us to get too comfortable. He was always challenging assumptions, poking us and catching us off guard. I didn't like working for him because I wasn't sure that I could trust him. Then he left. And his replacement was very different and very secure. He helped us to feel secure. It was a peaceful environment. I worked equally hard for both men, but was more productive under the second man. I was no longer watching my back, covering my tracks, thinking defensively. My energy went into my work. I was working hard, and there were many pressures to the job, but I was at peace and was secure. I remember it as a hard-charging but restful place to work. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavily burdened, and I will give you rest." And then he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Verse 29 of our scripture lesson today. Take my yoke upon you. Most of us have seen an ox yoke only in a museum. A yoke is a heavy wooden bar that fits across the oxen's shoulders. The farmer attaches a plow or a cart to the yoke, and the oxen pulls it. When Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you," he isn't offering an easy chair, but a harness. As a carpenter, Jesus surely carved ox yokes for his neighbors. To make a yoke required a Finnish carpenter, the kind of carpenter that makes custom cabinetry today. The best of the best. The yoke had to be measured precisely to fit the ox, or it would rub and chafe. If the yoke didn't fit well, it was like having a rock in your shoe. When you have a rock in your shoe, 99% of you is all right, but the other 1% is miserable. When 1% of you is miserable, you're miserable. All of you is miserable. Miserable from head to toe. You can't walk far with a rock in your shoe. Can you imagine being on your feet all day with a rock in your shoe, and then putting that shoe on the next morning with the rock still in it? That was the life of an ox with a poorly fitted yoke. Good farmers knew how important a good yoke was. Legend has it that Jesus made the best yokes in Galilee, and farmers came from all over to have him make yokes for their oxen. Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Yokes are often made for pairs of oxen, so they can work side by side to pull a heavy load. When Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you," I like to think that he is inviting us to get into the harness next to him so that he can take the lead, help us through the difficult places, show us how it is done. Supervisors often refuse to do that. They won't get their hands dirty. They give instructions from the sidelines. "You can't do the job and supervise too," they tell us. Jesus was different. He got his hands dirty. In fact, if you will recall, he got his hands bloody. He came to live among us, to share our lives, to experience our pain, to touch lepers, to rebuke demons, to eat with tax collectors and sinners. Now he invites us to get into harness with him so that he might share our work, share our lives, and give us rest and bring us peace. The life to which Jesus invites us is at once restful and purposeful and useful. The life to which Jesus invites us is a life that counts. In his Letters from Birmingham Jail, Martin Luther King, Jr., tells us about a 72-year-old African-American woman who gave up riding buses to support a bus boycott in support of racial integration. Her support of the boycott meant that she had to walk a long distance every day. She was not a strong woman physically, and the walking tired her. Friends were concerned and suggested that she should ride the bus. Other people could support the boycott. Dr. King reported her response. She said, "My feet's is tired," she said, "but my soul is at rest." Hear that again, because it speaks so clearly to our condition as Christian disciples. When we are following Jesus' footsteps, our feet might get tired, but our soul will be at rest. That's the rest to which Jesus invites us. And if we follow him, we will discover that we won't mind tired feet as long as our soul is at rest. Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." That's our Lord's message for this Lord's Day, and I hope you got a blessing out of it. Go out this week and be a blessing and be blessed, for the more you are a blessing, the more you will be blessed. Thank you all for watching and listening, and we will see you all next week.